This is The Record on KUOW. I'm Ross Reynolds. Last week, the first Ebola patient was diagnosed in the United States. Federal health officials say an Ebola outbreak in the U.S. is unlikely. But if Ebola does make its way to Washington State, how prepared are we? Well, Dr. Scott Lindquist is looking at that very issue. He's Washington State's chief epidemiologist. Dr. Lindquist, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thanks, Ross. Pleasure to be here.
We have an unconfirmed report that you have someone under watch here in the Seattle area for possibly having Ebola. Is that the case?
Well, there are lots of patients that are going to be ruled out. We have no formal Ebola cases in Washington State, certainly nothing confirmed. But there are going to be a lot of folks that are concerned about it that either had history of travel or didn't. And so that's going to be the majority of our work. We're going to have a lot of hospitals and a lot of providers hearing about patients, but there's no confirmed case here.
Are you checking out any cases?
Personally, we're not. We are the one lab out of 13 in the United States that are responsible for testing for Ebola. We've been cleared by the Centers for Disease Control to do that, and we have processed no specimens.
And I understand the Harborview Medical Center has agreed to accept Ebola evacuees from West Africa. Is that so?
Right, that's true. And just to be really clear about that, we're expecting every hospital in Washington State to be prepared to deal with patients with Ebola, which means understanding infection control in this virus and certainly asking travel histories. Above and beyond that, though, Harborview has agreed in a partnership with the Centers for Disease Control and the State Department to take evacuees from West Africa to be treated if they have space available and they're able to accommodate them at Harborview.
When might that happen?
You know, they're still in the preliminary guidance for this, and there's a lot of detail that needs to go in this to assure safety of patients at Harborview, of staff at Harborview, of the general public, to make sure that infection control is in place, that policies are in place, and that's going to take some time. And as you may have heard, there is some debate about how to handle the waste and can that be cleared at a federal level to transport that for destruction. So all those things have to be worked out still.
Dr. Lindquist, let's talk about some of the basics here. How is Ebola transmitted?
Now, Ebola is transmitted through direct contact with someone who is infected. So it's not someone who doesn't have symptoms. It's usually someone who is with a high fever or bleeding or vomiting, diarrhea. And it's an exposure to blood and body fluids. Now, you can generate some spray if you're doing certain medical procedures, but in general, this is not an infection that's transmitted through the air.
Yeah, I want to get back to direct contact. What does that mean? Touching the person, shaking hands with the person?
Yeah, it really means being exposed to a body fluid of that person. So that is pretty clear why the only case that we have in the United States, it's not clear what his exposure was, but certainly the healthcare workers prior to that were intimately involved with taking care of patients, examining them, drawing blood. There's all kinds of body fluids that you can come in contact with if someone throws up or if someone has diarrhea. Those are the direct exposures that we're talking about.
Now, the kind of things you would look for with a possible Ebola patient are the kind of things that could be many different infectious diseases. Are you taking any special precautions here in Washington State because of Ebola?
Yeah, and that's a great point, is that this is so nonspecific. You know, fever, vomiting, abdominal pain, those could be influenza, they could be other viruses. And so we are heavily relying on our existing infection control practices, our existing public health and hospital systems. But what's unique about Ebola is that these folks that are infected are coming out of three countries in West Africa. And so all the issues about screening folks as they leave these countries in West Africa, about our providers here asking very specifically travel history. Now, for most folks, that is part of the healthcare system, but we're really asking people to amp this up, to be talking to anyone with recent travel, or certainly letting your physicians know if you have symptoms compatible with Ebola, what your exposure risks were.
But I understand if someone from Ebola has Ebola, they could go through this incubation phase where they're not showing any symptoms, and while they're in that phase, they're not contagious. Is that correct?
That is correct. But one thing that they do know is where they were exposed. So coming out of West Africa, would be something that you would definitely tell your medical provider or healthcare provider if you were seeking care.
If so, you're in the presence of someone showing symptoms of what could be Ebola, it could be something else, what should you do?
Well, it's the same principles that we use for anything at this time of year, because unfortunately, we're starting to see respiratory viruses. So the good infection control practices are hand washing, gloves if you're going to touch the patient with any body fluids, gowns if you're going to get any body fluids on yourself, certainly a mask to protect yourself from spray that could happen into your mouth or your mucus, what we call mucous membranes, your eyes would be glasses or a shield. But it doesn't mean everyone has to, when you're evaluating patients, be dressed up in a moon suit here. We're talking about good infection control practices that should protect us well.
We just got a little bit of time left, Dr. Scott Lindquist. But officials at the Centers for Disease Control say that they don't think that Ebola will gain a foothold in the U.S. Do you agree? And if so, why?
Yeah, I do agree. And I think you got to compare ourselves to what's going on in Africa. They do not have the infrastructure, both in public health or in the healthcare system, to make sure that we can get gloves and gowns and masks and practice infection control with isolation. All these very simple things are what are going to be helpful to control this and have controlled these outbreaks in the past.
Dr. Lindquist, thank you so much for your time. We really appreciate it.
You're welcome.
Dr. Scott Lindquist, Washington State's chief epidemiologist. You're listening to The Record on KUOW.